busy, and I have in my couch my old blue psychiatric couch, which is wearing a bit thin. There's been so many bums on it. I have old Spring EP, and he's just about to play a track from Victim's Family, who were on this very couch.
Bullshit.
In fact,
I just played a track from Victim's Family two tracks ago.
Oh, beg your pardon, but, well, they were on the very couch. And it was a sacrilege because some of the young people, these a bit of a star system here, they took away the cover for the couch. This is, we want to have this in memory of Victim's Family. Well, not only did we fly them in specially for the interview, but we also said, we're decent people. Play a gig up in Jarrow's. How did it go, Spring EP?
I couldn't tell ye, I was blitzed. But the band played very well, actually. It was a great crack. Loads of people there. Must have been about 200 people there, all enjoying themselves, all getting into things. Just went very well.
Okay, well, the important question is, was there bouncers and was there fights? That's what we always ask when young people get together, apparently the fight.
Yeah, the fight when there's bouncers are, you know, you give them an environment, the hostile, and it winds them up, and if a fight does start, it tends to be nasty, you know. There's no bouncers, you know. There's people there to make sure that, you know, people are from the centre looking out for stuff going on and not letting things start. That's what the secret is, that the so-called crowd control. It's not that when a fight starts, you break it up. It's you don't let it start in the first place. People know each other well enough, I think, to know when someone's winding someone else up too much. So we don't really let it happen.
So I can use that term. Don't take offence. But young people are policing themselves.
That's it. And if you leave them to it, they can do it very well. They can do it better than some spade that you draft in for the night and put in a monkey suit, like, who doesn't understand them. I seen bouncers in the past at punk gigs pulling people off who were dancing because they thought they were fighting, because the punk dancing happened to be very aggressive, but people weren't fighting, they were having a good time. What they thought was a good time, these guys couldn't relate to it, so they go in and make the situation a lot worse. So I don't want to encourage that sort of behaviour. You know?
Power. It's all to do with power, isn't it?
It is indeed.
Give them a suit and they think, give them a uniform and they think they've got power.
It's also got to do with these guys, like our fighters themselves, and if they don't get one that night, then, you know, 9 times out of 10, like, the Ulster Hall was renowned for it. Queens, like, bouncers were, at one time anyhow, the worst in this town. Like, they actually killed somebody one night.
Queens University?
Queens University, they pushed somebody down the steps one night and broke his neck, like, you know. That was years ago now, but, I mean, that's the sort of mentality of a lot of bouncers then, and I don't know about now, because I don't...
And I've been thrown out of lobberies many's a time myself.
You have indeed, you're a drunken bugger, that's why, no excuses, you got under everyone's feet, and you're obstreperous when you get drunk. Like most people, when they get drunk, they're bloody awful, they're bloody a pain in the arse, they're violent, they're aggressive, you can't make a bloody word to say, I know what the thing... They think they're okay. They think they're bloody godders. Anyway, enough of old Rick here. He's losing it. Drunk people, get under me.
He's obstreperous when he's sober.
Absolutely. You should see me when I'm drunk. Play the next record there.
This is Mayday 101, and this is That Petrol Emotion, who I've never heard of before.
Oh, here, hang on there, lad. Don't play. You've never heard of Petrol Emotion?
Actually, I've heard the name, but I haven't heard any of their music.
We're going to go to Spring EP for the inside news here.
Oh, That Petrol Emotion, ex-members of the Undertones. That's it. That's as much as I know on them. That's as much. John O'Neill, good songwriter, you know. He went on to do it for That Petrol Emotion, you know. He done it for the Undertones, and he went on to do the same again.
He didn't bugger off like Fergus or Fergie.
What do you mean bugger off?
It's Fergal Sharp, aye.
That's
he has to live in England and try, I don't know. What was that song? A good heart is... Hard to find.
He's an A&R man for Polydor Records now.
Who?
Well,
he's on a comfortable salary anyhow.
Oh, well, oh, you speak, you know that, you know.
And, I know that for a fact. I mean, and John O'Neill's up with the
Has he given any money? Has he given any money to the centre?
Of course he hasn't. John O'Neill's up with the Northwest Musicians Collective.
And I hear he's doing good work up there.
He's doing reasonable work. The Northwest are doing, you know, getting their act together.
And yeah.
We've got a multimedia centre there.
Can you tell us a wee bit about this?
I can't tell you. They started off like in small premises like ourselves, and they've worked their way up. They're trying to create resources for young people up there, like, you know, young musicians.
What sort of resources?
Well, you know, started off doing practice facilities and stuff like that. They had in their old building, I haven't been up in the new one. The Nate Track Studio, a film and video workshop in the same building with them. They were working on a huge venue there as well, like, and they do classes and stuff, instrumentation.
Well, this is good news for young people, and I can say it, I'll be honest, I'll be decent here. The Arts Council give them a bit of money. Not as much as the bloody Grand Opera House, mark you, but they get a bit of money to help them on the way.
Well, see, the thing is, we'll have got more from the cultural traditions. Only give it all to bloody Radio 101 FM. The young people were meant to get that
I'm
money.
I'm taking that mic away. How dare you say this? The power behind the throne here is Bucketmouth. It wasn't me. People thought it was old Rick. It was bloody Bucketmouth. And Bucketmouth, in the traditions of employer-employee relationship, he says to me, this was today. Nah, okay, it was today, the last day. He says, Rick, we'll have to let you go. In other words, you're bloody fired. Well, I've news for you, Bucketmouth. I've been snapped up by the BBC. I've been snapped up by Radio 4. Yes. You thought it was an old joke, this. Well, I've been doing my auditions in Pirate Radio, and they came to me and said, Rick, you have something to say on Radio 4. You will follow, and they said, you will follow Gerry Anderson, two Irish men on Radio 4, and we're going to call it, and I thought, bit of an insult for it. I thought, that's great. We're going to call it Great Boars of the Year, Great Irish Boars of the Year. There, you see, I got my own back. You thought it was on the door, it wasn't. So bugger you, Bucketmouth. Play it. You can cut me off now. I don't care. Try cut. Yeah. Well, next record, Buck. Get you on the engineering.
Ricochet there. He said he got a call there yesterday from Radio 4. Now these guys are go back to the 60s. A few hippies within Radio 4 there. And the production team, and now they says, come on, well, for a laugh, we'll invent a thing called May Fool instead of April Fool. You know, they're a bit left wing, so they give Rick a ring yesterday, you know, but they just rang her this morning and said, maybe you should tell him like it was all a joke. What do you say, Rick?
You're fucked. You didn't get the BBC job. It's all a big scam. You thought you could leave with flying colours. You slagged them off too much.
You mean
they don't like you?
You mean I'm not on with Gerry?
You're not on with Gerry Anderson or any of them.
And you've just slammed Bucketmouth. No, hang on. Really out of a job.
What do you mean slam? Bucketmouth and me were like Tom and Jerry. He's the best sound engineer there is.
I'm buttering you up, mate.
No, I kid you not. He said he had fired me. I don't think so. Well,
I said it when I was drunk. Okay.
There you are. You see. Tom and Jerry, Abbott and Costello of the recording world? Here we go.
The boil on the arse of broadcasting.
The Mae McFetridge and the Sadie of the recording world?
The agony of the airwaves?
No, we're trying to get people here, the Lou and who's the. Morecambe and Wives of the. Oh, here we go. All
The Kurt Cobain and Jimi Hendrix?
The Kurt Cobain and Jimi Hendrix?
The Cannon and Ball?
Well, you're the bald man.
Yeah, I just got a weird deja vu.
Next recorder, you're Mr.
There's not going to be enough power left in the workplace.
But do you
anymore.
Think that's possible? Because, I mean, a lot of the time, the management of the trade unions are actually full-time paid staff. It's not actually the grassroots, the workers actually saying, I'm fed up. They actually have a managerial class who actually sit in cahoots with the managers of
the management,
the factories, the works. Is that not true?
That is true,
is
it,
as
a matter of fact, he gets trade union officials running around expansive company. The union has become basically like a sort of a company as well.
As George Orwell put it in Animal Farm, the pigs started to look like the farmers and the farmers started to look like the pigs.
Yep. Pigs started to walk on 2 feet.
Enough of pigs, anyway. But as you were saying, what are the solutions?
Giving people a training.
Is that in New York you have to go and train?
No.
MC.
No, over here, don't give me the bloody money to do the course. So where's the training? Typical. Where's the training? Diddle and dole figures. That's what it's about.
That's all it is.
Statistics.
I'll take this now.
Hey, go on.
I heard you on the radio. Who was it? Somebody slurred my profession.
What?
You did. He says you just sit there behind a mic. I spend all evening, boy. I'm a bit serious about this, listener. Do you think my ad libs are just come out of the top of my head? I am in front of a hot keyboard all evening working these ad libs. How dare you slur my profession?
No, I'm not slurring your profession, so there's ad libs. I'm not slurring. I'm not looking out for bad people.
You think it's spontaneous. Do you see this speech? This interjection? I had to sit down and write it. On my own time. Sorry to interrupt there, listeners.
More bullshit from Rick.
What do you think it's done? What do you think it's done for Belfast?
What's done for Belfast? Well, it has let people who normally don't hear anything, normally don't get a chance on the airwaves to express their views and opinions. So it hasn't... I think it's helped to create a inspiration in a lot of people, that normally would have didn't have any sort of thing.
Would you like to see it going on?
I would like to see it going on. So this is a matter of fact, in a person's words, they said that it's a great asset to the city of Belfast. And should be kept on.
What do you think, Pocket Mouth?
I think I'm burnt out. But anyway, I'll continue.
My bedroom, I got it up there, so did as well. And it has an FM.
Well, we're talking about stuff from skips, like TVs, radios, and stuff like that. There's another thing. You go around town centre, and all these bakeries and stuff, and fresh food places, who boast fresh food on that day.
Mm-hmm.
If there's anything left at the end of the day, they bung it in the bin bags and throw it out the back. So you've all these places around the town, homeless people running about starving, and you have these people dumping stuff out every day.
That's ridiculous.
That's a normal one. In the old cafe, that's how I used to get our bread.
Let it out of the bag there, MC.
On. A crusty roll one day old, you know what I mean? Baked the day before. It's fresh. That's you know what fresh. I mean?
And a bloody bin bag down in the entry, though.
No. It was more strategic in that the couple of guys used to go out, they knew when they put the bag out. So they'd go out, wait for the shop to close, and as soon as the bag went out, they'd go and get it.
We didn't.
And that's them was sold them. You'd have them sitting there in a big plate the next day, and people were just coming up and eating them. It was buns and rolls and stuff like that. It was great. Fed half
vegetarian, I presume.
Of course, fed half the population of the Holy Land at one stage. The feeding of 5,000 and all that.
Your
steering wheel.
It's all a green. A lot of it's all a green corn. For instance, there two Kentucky Fried Dead Bird. They say, we're not going to put our dead birds into styrofoam. We're going to put them in the paper instead. But do you know what they've done? They've shipped all the styrofoam over to the Russian, what used to be the Soviet Union. So they've sold them all over there, you see, and now they're being sold on the black market too, because people can't afford it over there.
So the Russians are still the bloody problem then. Now they're polluting the environment, but everyone has to have a scapegoat. Suppose the Russians are
We'll have a wind power generator.
Gonna say something risque here, something risque. A bloody dog. All these dogs. What's the function of a dog in today's society? Shake to feed it and take it for a walk. What are the good news? Getting to pull you up the hills.
My dog's bloody powerful, so it is. Sometimes I think he's trying to make a freaking idiot out of me. It is. Wee woman outside the door. We'd tell you this one. Wee woman outside the freaking door, like, you know, and she's scrubbing her steps. What does Paul do? Flipping pishes up again and left his leg, like. Flipping, like, that's me that gets it. Like, you know, he couldn't do it in a bit of waste ground just across the street.
Did
came
she think
from.
You pitched?
So he's not.
Did she think you pitched, like the neighbour?
No, she says, so she got out and she flipping ranted and raved at me. So she said, she says, yeah, as all of your dogs. Well, do you see if I see that dog round here, I'm going to fucking break its back. What have you done there?
Honest.
She was just alright, though. I mean, she just scrubbed her step. The dog isn't taken off. You haven't trained it to be environmentally friendly yet.
You were talking all earlier on about games and so forth.
I think the communities in Belfast, anyway, where I live, well, all the communities have been broke up, and it seems that, like, where I lived, it was a mixed community in the early 60s, like, and people used to go and be able to, like, it was a working class community. Mm-hmm. They would go and borrow a cup of sugar from the neighbour.
It used to be you could have knocked the side door of a shop and all, like, you know, if you run out of a bit of bread or so forth, like, then you could have went around and got a loaf, like, you know, and wrapped the side door if they were shut and so forth. You can't do that with a supermarket, like, you know.
Well, actually, we shop at Barway has a slate, and I'm allowed to use it, seeing I'm unemployed. Like, and every week I spend my dole in a week, a 2 week dole that goes in a week. So, the shop where I live lets me have a slate, and I go in and order whatever, and then pay my next week off my next week's dole.
It used to be like that in the bar as well, like, you know, till I got. Over, like, whenever they had the family pubs, like, you know, everybody in the community, everybody knew each other, sort of thing. But now, pubs now belong to multinationals like Guinness and Bass, Carlington, and all the rest of it, you know. And these people, like, you know, are only interested in making money, they're not interested in keeping the community together.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, you're listening to 101 FM, and that was The Sound of London. Who's The Sound of London, eh?
It's Papua New Guinea. It's on that label. I think it's The Sound of London. Pretty sure.
Have I not got The Sound of Belfast anywhere, no? Well, I suppose they're bloody old helicopters. That's all we ever get in bed, isn't it, really?
Choppers coming in.
Absolutely. And we're going to have... I'm just trying... The State Council. You're more suited to my generation, wasn't it? Eh? Well, you sort of slapped a bit in the disco if you want it. But anyway...
Smoochy music,
yeah. You have a wee doze in between all those raucous numbers. We have Speedy and Rancid, and we're going to hear... We're just going to break into Jay. He doesn't mind. That's what this station's about. No big egos here. No huge egos. No. Small egos.
No.
Except mine. And I've control of mine, so... Don't say anything against me. But anyway, we're going to go over for... what the hell's this number?
This is...
What's this? Oh, here! Tell us that this is a... I was upset.
Is this thing on?
Yes.
Kick your hand off now.
Don't touch it. Right. It's picking you up. It's your voice, but what? Not your hands.
Okay, well, that makes a change. First song here is a song called $10 Bill, and it's by a fabulous band from New York City called Cop Shoot Cop. Take it away.
Here, hang on.
No, put it on, in fact. No. Take it away.
A bit of wishful thinking there, boy. Cop, shoot cop.
It's a very controversial name.
Absolutely. These Americans, they get away with murder.
And what's the name of it again?
$10 Bill.
$10. I hope we get it right.
We might get it right. If not, it's bound to be a good song.
Yeah. And a shop cook. Well.
There's another bob in the back.
You couldn't get away with a group called that here, could you? Eh?
When they played with Therapy at the Ulster Hall, they were called Cop Shot Cop.
Ah! Ah! Bit of a cop-out, eh? Oh! Oh, the puns are flowing! Let it rip!
Jesus Lizard.
The Jesus Lizard doing... Mary.
Bloody Mary.
Bloody Mary.
Bloody Mary.
Are
you allowed to say that?
Are we allowed to bad things?
Okay, well, I'll be honest, their profanity delay broke down, and this is, you're hearing it, rough from the youth of
no
Belfast.
Censorship. No censorship.
This is how it is today on the streets.
Absolutely. It's how, here, I'll tell you, yes, it's, believe it or not, it's how ordinary people speak. They put in the occasional curse word. They don't speak like that in the BBC, but they do here. They just speak ordinary. Incredible.
And we are fucking ordinary.
There you are. Well, there you are. It slipped out.
Sorry.
No, don't be sorry. That's, believe it or not, we speak like that. You know, we're not all Shakespearean actors. We add an occasional curse word. Doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything to us. You know, we just gives us a wee time to think. Don't be offended by it. And if you're offended, fuck you. Tell us, we were just discussing there that the age of young people in terms of gay relationships had been lowered. Isn't that right? It's been lowered to 18 or something now.
Yes, it has.
But listen, we wonder why wasn't it passed with the other legislation? Do you remember in Britain?
I think that's because Stonewall, the gay rights group who were campaigning for the change in the law, thought it was too difficult to get the law passed in Northern Ireland, so they ignored Northern Ireland because they thought all the unionists would vote against it.
Well, the old unionists were outflanked, weren't they? Eh?
They were indeed.
A bit of a surprise. One up on a bit of progressive legislation for a change. I mean, they all gang up whenever it comes to doing working class people down, doing ordinary life down, but they were thwarted. They were thwarted. They didn't get there. They couldn't do it, could they?
Indeed.
But look, do you think it'll make any change? I mean, there's a lot of gay people, especially young gay people, being entrapped by the RUC at the minute. Bit of controversy there.
In the cottages?
Yeah, apparently. Apparently the RUC are standing around waiting for people to appear in toilets and then they, I'm not...
Where did you read this?
I didn't.
Did you read it in the Sunday Word?
It's the word on the street.
Yeah, the word on the street. This is a strange term I'm going to use, but they seduce people in the toilets. Now, I know... tell me, do you know what anything about it?
I think it's causing a crime and then arresting them as opposed to preventing other crime instead of hanging around toilets all day.
But why is it a crime? Jesus Christ.
Because it offends public decency.
Oh, right.
Well, is that what they say? It seems a bit strange that gay people are actually... My God, have you seen the state? Have you seen the state, that bloody toilet? Victoriana, that one in the city centre, you go down... You go down underneath the road.
You have to wade.
Yeah, you have to wade through 6 inches of pish. I mean, it's Victoriana, all these wee tails, but haven't kept it. It should be nationalised by a national trust. They should make it into one of their little... They should make it... It should be preserved. And a wee tea room in it. That's what they do, these people, don't they? And people can meet in decent surroundings. Instead of these atrocious, horrible old toilets... And the one botanic, Jesus, it's appalling as well, isn't it? I mean, how are you supposed to meet there? They've sawn half the doors. Oh, I don't know what the hell they're up to there. What's the next record?
The pop group. Not any old pop group, but the pop group, Thief of Fire. Other venues in Belfast. For instance, there's a centre on Upper Donegal Street. Lots of good stuff happening there. What is happening there? A couple of bands from Dublin coming up on Friday. Flexi-head and, I can't bring myself to say this name because it's a terrible name, Dr. Shitface. Can you imagine that? Imagine.
Ooh, Scunge Drinkers.
Scunge Drinkers, what's Scunge, Peachy?
nothing risky. Here, the Scunge Drinkers were a group of people down in Dublin who drink lots.
I see. Well,
sounds like that sort of name, you know, doesn't it?
It does. Maybe they do drink a lot. I wouldn't recommend it myself. So that's on this Friday, I think, isn't it, at the centre?
It is indeed.
And coming up now is a song by Flexihead from their EP. You can get it in Dr. Roberts and other good record shops. I think it's called Nervous, isn't it? Or is it called Mine? It's one of the three one-word titles.
Nervous.
Called Nervous. Thank you, Rancid. And here we go. A rocker from Dublin.
Well, since we started the station, I think there's been round about nine people killed, someone last night. Again, not feeling our greatest. Of course, everyone's, I don't know if you can hear it in the background, there you are. Usual Belfast theme song, back to the music. FM broadcasting until Monday, May the 2nd. Well, you can hear the helicopters overhead. We've got the RUC, we've got the RAR, we've got the British Army, we've got the UDA, we've got the UVF, we've got the IRA, we've got the INLA, all claiming to protect us. Feels like we're hostages. And we have a special guest in with us. It's Sadie from the BBC. Hello there, Sadie.
Hello there. I'm Sadie from the BBC. The wee working class woman comes in and speaks to your not middle class man who's nice suit and a mix of food. And you can telephone him. Okay. How you doing? How you doing, Belfast?
How you doing there, Sadie?
I was down the road there with May McFetridge, and we were just talking, and we were saying, we're sick with the BBC making us out to be fucking idiots. We are, we're sick of it. I mean, all the time, we're just working women, and we can't help the way we talk.
Well, one message says, George Jode, stop this patronising bullshit. I think you qualify, you and your mates.
You see, I'm unemployed as well, you know, and I need the money.
Listen,
I need the
Siri,
money. And in the middle,
up,
if it's coming from some
no,
nice
yes,
man.
Shut
it's
up,
some
Siri,
nice
no more
man.
Patronizing. George, who don't, or whoever your name is, I think you qualify for Bore of the Year.
Actually, I do as
Give
well.
Give it up there, lad. Next one, Bucket Mouth. Go as well, we've had enough of you. You know, Jesus Christ, the BBC's full of old folk. Give young people a chance, for God's sake. We've had enough of you, lad. God, it must be in their 40s, that lad. Listen, that was Bonzo. That was
Bonzo. No,
I told you not
Bono.
To play Bonzo.
Bono.
Bonzo done the dirt in Ulster's youth.
What did he do?
He flipping well was supposed to give Ulster's youth some money, and he didn't. He gave them the... I think he gave them the crappiest record on their piece together album. Listen, well, if somebody
that was Lou Reed and Bono.
Absolutely.
I think there's somebody at the door.
There's our next guest. We'll fill in with a record Bucket Mouth.
Okay.
That's fucking...
Hello, everyone. You're listening to 101 FM, the boil on the bum of broadcasting, the acne of the airwaves. Now, interesting fact number one. Ulster has a lot of unemployed people. It does. How do unemployed people get things done? We're just about to hear from Ruth and Paul about a scheme called the Let's Scheme. Operating elsewhere, but as usual in this bloody backwater place, isn't here. But stay tuned, you're going to find out how you get things done if you're unemployed and don't have the money.
Paul.
Well, I'll go on to what LETS stands for. It's a local exchange and trading system, and it's used to exchange goods and services. It's like a extended barter system, where instead dealing between two people, you bring in a third party, a plural third party, and so an exchange of goods, when somebody exchanges goods with another person, the other person can then use the credits they gain for that exchange with a third party.
Like
done in our lives. And the money system that we have in this country and all over the world doesn't often actually help us to get the things that we want in our lives, which is a door fixed, a child taken for a walk. All the sort of things that would actually improve our quality of life are often things that we can't pay for with money. And Let's is about doing things for one another, which has a real impact on people's lives and makes their daily lives.
Okay, listen, set the actors are about to give us a little scene from the play. Set the scene for us.
Right, well, what's happened is that Lily has been sent down the shops with a shirt to get a few groceries, barter economy, as it were. So she's come back with the shopping. She hasn't followed the list that Florence has gave her, so there's been a bit of a to-do about that. And then Jack comes in.
Hi there. You did well.
Doesn't take the heat out of the rent issue, but you can have the run of the house.
Thanks.
Did you get them yet?
Bloody hell.
What was that woman's name? You may be able to shed some light on a situation which has arisen.
What's that?
You may be responsible for a situation which has arisen.
Innocent until proven guilty.
Mary.
From where?
He met her in the supermarket.
Didn't know Hank shopped.
Well, you know how you're talking about art commodity, the problem that people have with all that thing. And Joseph Boyce had a big problem with that because he didn't like the idea of art that was a commodity. And that's why he always avoided America for most of his working life.
Yeah.
But eventually he thought, well, I have to go to New York because that's where it's all happening.
Yeah.
And this gallery gave him the chance to do this performance in their gallery. So he thought, well, I don't want to hang around America for too long. So he flew across to New York, and from JFK Airport he was taken to the gallery in an ambulance, carried in on a stretcher, in there with a coyote, for a few days or whatever, taken back out on the stretcher, back in the ambulance, back on the plane, back to Germany. Brilliant.
Absolutely fabulous. Absolutely.
This is great. I'm learning a lot tonight.
I know, absolutely. I'll tell you this. A lack of education. Let me show you.
You know what I mean. Club Curious, anyway. And a simple affair. People just bring along a carry-out and a couple of quid in at the door. We've only run two, but the next one's on May the 10th, Tuesday, May the 10th, and it's called Complete Lickout.
Yeah.
And featuring DJs Theory and Mr. De Niro.
Yeah.
And probably a small spot by DJ K-Tel.
Excellent.
And international DJs.
Well. Old Trendy Lefty, how are you, mate?
Still living, still...
And international DJs.
Old Trendy Lefty, how are you, mate?
Still living, still breathing.
Well, listen, you're talking to Mayday 101 FM. Have you been listening in?
I haven't, I'm afraid.
You haven't, you bugger. You're supposed to be interested in all that sort of... Okay, what brings you here today?
The necessity to carry the flag. The fact that the workers are facing a lot of trials and tribulations, and people have to organise and fight back.
But do you not think this is a bit redundant, these trade unions? I think they're a bit irrelevant.
Well, what else is going to defend the workers? Trade unions aren't very effective because very often they avoid the fight. They're afraid of it. But the fight still has to be fought, and they're the first line of defence.
Are you in a union yourself?
Of course I am.
And is it pretty militant union?
I'm afraid not.
Top heavy, that is. This is bucket mouth, by the way. Top heavy and falling down. There's no real grassroots representation, is there?
What union are you in?
I'm not in the union anymore.
You bloody are in a union, you stupid old... You are. Many people are here today.
Very few, a couple of hundred. But I mean, this is the tradition of this march. This march is held early on Saturday morning with very little publicity so that the workers won't come. And it's
That's right. I haven't seen any posters. I mean, we got an old fax through. And we had the Women's Golf Club or so. I don't know what it was. But we'll move on to our next personality. We'll see you in the march, John.
Okay.
And so, are you with one of the pensioners? Are you with one of the pensioners? And reconciliation
of justice and peace. It raises, though, to over 15, doesn't it, next year or something? It
raises to 17.5%.
Are you one of these militant pensioners?
Militant pensioners. National Pensioners Association.
So, tell us about the campaign. Are you getting much support from pensioners?
We're in the over the million signatures up to the moment.
Do you think it'll do any good now?
Well, we'll see what the Queen has to say. She's presenting it.
Oh, now, do you think the Queen's much sympathy with pensioners? I mean, she's on a good old... she may be a pensioner's up, but she gets a hell of a lot more than you, I'm sure. Okay, we're going to go overnight to... Yes, they're watching me. The Anti-Nazi League. So, what's that?
Join the Anti-Nazi League.
Where's the Nazi? Tell us where the Nazis are. We keep playing these anti-Nazi records. I think we've flushed them out by now, but what's that one you play, Bucket Mouth?
Credit to the Nation.
Credit to the Nation. Now, they get an earful of that. They're pretty browned off after that. But is there any left?
Any Nazis? Unfortunately, yeah. There is. Yeah. Do you see that sticker there? We see that they put up. I'm trying to find it. An AWB sticker, believe it or not, in Belfast.
Socialist worker, tell us about... We're not supposed to have political parties. But we'll make an exception in this, mate. Tell us about the socialist workers.
No, serious. No, I can't.
You're live now. You're almost live here.
Serious, Tally. That's your man now.
Oh, no, he's referred us to the Central Committee. So we see the Central Committee suitably dressed in red and black here, but not quite their colours. But here's the Central Committee. Give us the speech. You're live on, well, almost live on 101 FM.
Oh, Jesus, no.
Right.
I'm not in the speaking.
Reference up, is it? Reference up here at the Central Committee. Point them out to us.
Of SWM. Go and, where is he? Go talk to Mark there. This guy here, Mark.
Right, we're over to Mark. Mark, we're on to you. We've been told to refer.
Pong from one person to the next. In your direction.
Here you are. Give us a spiel. What's your party stand for?
We stand for workers' unity. The fact that Catholics and Protestants can unite.
Okay, our listeners are thinking. They are. I can hear them thinking. Actually, I'll be honest, it's me. It's thinking. Who are you to tell a man from Britain? What do you understand? Tell us more. Why are you?
Well, I'm a socialist now. I can't help where I was born. But I think... Obviously, every different country has its own political solutions, but I think, as a socialist, wherever I go, if I'm in Britain, or if I'm in Ireland, or if I'm in South Africa, the solution I see to the problems all around the world is the fact that there's an economic war going out there between the people who...
Mr. Derry himself, what brings you here, Eamon?
Well, I'm not Mr. Derry himself, I'm Mr. Derry Trades Council, I'm the chairman of Derry Trades Council, and there's a number of us came up from the Trades Council to take part in the Belfast Trades Council March, as indeed next week, we hold our march, there'll be a token contingent coming down from the Belfast Trades Council to our march, so it's just a little bit of cross-bearing solidarity, as you might say.
And what do you think, the turnout is pretty crap?
I would say,
let's be honest.
The turnout is, well, crappy, you're putting it very, very gently, and I know you don't wish to be rude, so I mean, you can say crap. The turnout is catastrophic. And and listening to the speech that I've just heard from Phil Flynn, I mean, it's no wonder, I mean, sort of, there's as much passion in a rice pudding as there is in Phil Flynn. It's just, well, I think there's drugs and drugs, of course. I mean, the drug which causes the most damage, particularly to working class communities in the North of Ireland, is, of course, alcohol. Followed by solvent abuse. After that, you reach the illegal drugs, the drugs made illegal by British law. Sort of, I think there's a piquant irony in the fact that certain organisations which claim to be up to destroy British law in Ireland only punish those who handle drugs which have been made illegal by the British. I think that there's, in general terms, people take drugs because, I mean, they want to escape from the dull grind sort of the reality around them and the hopelessness of the life around them. And the idea that you can deal with that phenomenon by going in sort of and killing people and kneecapping them seems to me, in the first place, to be self-evidently ridiculous, and I don't believe that's the basic motivation. I disapprove entirely of any paramilitary organisation of killing people and kneecapping people because of possession of drugs, A, because it's not dealing with the problem, and B, because it's creating another problem. And I think that one of the reasons we get these kneecappings is that you get the, I think that the IRA, and they're not alone in this, are using the sort of horror that people feel about drugs, horror which is often based on ignorance. I mean, parents feel horror when their kids are on drugs, Mike.
Here we are under the banner of the unemployed, and here's somebody holding it. Tell us about the unemployed, Sander Brennan.
Well, the unemployed Sander is part of the trade union movement, and we always try to take part in trade union activities. And the May Day March we see as something where the unemployed should have a voice and to be seen to be demonstrating along with the people who see themselves as being employed. We see the banner itself, it says unemployed and employed unite. I think myself that's the essence of the message here we're giving today.
Indeed it is. And tell us, you have certain things for unemployed people in the centre.
Oh yes. Yes, we have plenty of activity that goes on in the centre. We've got advice, we've got representation, we've got counselling, we've got graphic design, we've got DTP, we've got information technology, we've got research, we've got education, we've got training. So there's plenty of activities for people who are unemployed. And anybody who wants to take part in those activities should come to the Unemployed Centre at 45 Donegal Street.
The unemployed are getting organised at last, getting tooled up in all the high-tech things you need to fight unemployment. Thank you very much, Brendan. Okay, well, we've had tell us why you're here.
Why am I here? To celebrate May Day.
Why should we celebrate it?
Because it's International Workers' Day.
Okay, let me put you to this point. It isn't even May.
Well, of course, because we're living in a capitalist country that don't recognise May Day as a public holiday as such, we have to accept that we go to the nearest day to it. And we have to accept we have to go to the nearest Saturday to it. But until we get socialism, we'll not be able to celebrate it properly.
I hear the Tories, they're trying to move it into October or something like that.
Well, they were mooting that idea, but apparently they've had to back off because there were certain suggestions like Winston Churchill's birthday, and like he's not the popular man that people make him out to be. Certainly was a war leader, but outside that, his political record was pretty negative.
We're up towards Hard Street now, and we're passing... What's this built? Is this a church built? Hey, Buckethead. What? This used to be a church here. It did.
Big shopping complex. It's a massive shopping complex.
It used to be. I think the Methodist or a shopping complex.
Yeah, they're making a lot of money now. They haven't got the congregations, so they're making money out of shopping.
That sounds like a bit, you know, the business of Jesus Christ rushing into the place,
into the temple, and kicking them out.
Absolutely. I'll tell you what. We're going to break away from the march. We're going to go into this place and we'll tell you what sort of things are in it. Come on, Buckethead. Okay, it looks as though the whole place has been rehabilitated. Maybe they got one of Richard Needham's grants. We're going to go in. And it's a restaurant, menswear, hats, Pulse, Family Books. Here, this looks very plush, Buckethead, doesn't it?
Oh, yes, it does.
Squires, we're going into Squires. Security men, we better just keep it quiet here, Bucketmouth. Oh, very nice. Oh, this is lovely in here. This is the cathedrals of the future shopping centres. It's absolutely marvellous in here. Lovely white walls. Here, white sepulchres. There's those religious references again, Bucketmouth. Hey, now we're going to come out the other end. Good evening. A couple of nice trendies there, having a cup of cappuccino.
Automatic doors.
Here, we're going through the door. We've actually saved ourselves a bit of time because we're going to meet the march. The start of the march. I would have suggested the marchers came through this way. Here we come again. Out we come. We'll break off for a bit of pipe band.
Women are the ones who suffer silently through all the troubles.
They bear the brunt when their partners or whatever are in prison. They have to support the children on their own and all the rest of it, alienated from their partners for years at a time.
Yeah, the mothers and the...
trying to travel to prisons.
The mothers and the daughters and the wives
are
a very silent group.
Now, I have to ask the question, how do you know this?
Statistically. Every person who's killed or put in prison...
are men.
Yes. So statistically, you know, they must be a mother.
That there must be women involved.
I'll provoke. How do we know that the women suffer? Like, maybe they're... perfect. Yeah, well, maybe they're perfectly happy with the sacrifice of that.
Do you believe that, really?
I don't know. I haven't spoken to women whose husbands are in prison. I don't hear them on the radio much.
If you go to... Well, I don't know. But I haven't gone to visit men in male prisons. The waiting rooms are stuffed full of women and children. And if you go, I don't know what it's like going to visit women in a women's prison, but I would imagine it's stuffed full of women and children as well. Mm-hmm. I don't know what quota of males would be standing by their women inside.
Well, why do women put up then?
Sometimes what else do they have? Yeah, they can't leave their partners because there's a hassle that if you boycott the hero in prison, you're going to, I don't know what's going to happen to you. You have to stand by them.
Because they end up with their fucking head shaved if they do it.
You know that?
Yeah, do you know that?
You've had a direct experience of somebody who that's happened to?
No. The clippers in the house.
Got the clippers in the house, no, not quite. But I have, why? That's why. Because they have to live in that fucking area. You know? Her mom was inside and she fucking left them.
Yeah.
You know?
Simple as that.
You may as well not be there.
Was it as simple as that?
Yes, it is as simple as that.
Mm.
It is as simple as that. People have to have their own lives. People have to have their own lives and choose what to do in their own lives. Certain communities don't accept that.
No, what I mean is, I think
the optimistic note is that women don't have political power, if you know what I mean, because they don't want to have the power to start wars, etc., etc. That's not to say that women don't want equal rights. Of course they do, you know, but the fact that women haven't been involved with, I hope I can carry this through to the end, but the fact that women don't want the right to start wars, to have that level of political power, to me says to me that women realise the how corrupt the whole system is.
The pointlessness in it. The pointlessness in it.
Well, does it come down to something like women talk and communicate?
Yeah.
Does it?
Stand close to your trannies, listeners. We have a very special scoop for you. As a grassroots radio station, we have our ears dug in the ground. We are in a position to reveal for you the contents of the Hume Adams Peace Initiative, or as some listeners would prefer it, the Adams-August Hume Peace Initiative. Well, in order to adhere to the guidelines under the broadcasting restrictions, we hadn't the money to employ an actor, but we've distorted this man's voice. Nevertheless, get those lugs super glued into your speaker. And remember, you heard this first on Mayday 101 FM. Take it away, Bucket Mouth.
Ah, Chara. Good evening, listeners of Mayday 101 FM. I would like to lay before your feet some proposals of our peace plan, merely for consultation at this stage, but failure to adopt them will result in an almighty fuck it row. Number 1. All citizens may stand to be elected as members of the new government, regardless of religious or political beliefs, except estate agents, previous members of the DOE, those who have been or have ever considered being a member of the security forces, people who work for the BBC or UTV, and those lads who beat those big drums in the Orange Marches, and anyone else who has ever said anything bad against us. Number 2. All citizens of the New Ireland will be treated equally, regardless of religion, and we will be extremely lenient to those who have contributed to the years of unionist misrule and the centuries of British jackboot tyranny and exploitation. Number 3. All citizens will be dealt with fairly, and in the concept of small is beautiful, will be allocated an acre of land on which to become self-sufficient on the dole. Citizens of West Belfast will be allocated 1.5 acres to recompense for their atrocious treatment throughout the years of unionist misrule, etc. Sinn Féin members of the government, for these are likely to be the overwhelming majority in the government, in special recognition of their sacrifice in combating the years of unionist misrule, British jackboot, etc., etc., will be allocated 2 acres. 4. The new government offices is to be sited in West Belfast at the old Mackie site. 5. All ex-forces of the British state, such as the RUC, the RAR and so on, will go on a voluntary, and I stress a voluntary, rehabilitation course in Donegal. There they will pick up the rudimentaries of the Irish language and the Brachan laws on which our future courts are to be based, failure to do so will immediately result in the incarceration in Killybegs. 6. As an acknowledgement of our two traditions, that is, the depressed and the repressors, or the orange and green as the Liberals will have it, all public buildings, post offices, letterboxes, telephones, etc., will be painted with the new state colours, brown.
Seven. In line with avoiding the cult of personality, only one gable end wall per street will be permitted to have the portrait of Gerry Adams displayed. Funded, of course, by our new Arts Council. In Protestant areas, there will be two at each end gable wall, and in middle-class Protestant areas, well, they don't have gable walls, so every other house must carry some little attribute to honour Gerry Adams. Displays, of course, must conform to our guidelines of our new Arts Council. Offices, of course, are in the Short Strand. Thank you. I would like you to consider these proposals and leave you with this thought. In the old regime, it was dog eat dog. In our new Ireland, however, it'll be the other way about. Thank you, Mayday 101 FM. Keep listening.
Chucky Arna.
Good evening, you're listening to Mayday Radio 101 FM, celebrating the Mayday week until Monday, May the 2nd, every evening and all day at the weekends. Alternative radio in Belfast City. No mediators, no experts, just free expression, folks. And welcome to tonight's piece of theatre. It is called Alternative Future, and it is by Gary Mitchell, and it's performed by Graham Stewart, and it was directed by David Grant. Now, I'll set the scene for you. It's an RUC man, and he's watching a monitor. It is to the entrance of the police station. Fag in one hand, tin of coke in the other. Take it away there.
Look at these kids. We're down here between a college and a funeral parlour at almost 4:30 in the morning. Just behind that row of hedges there, there's a dual carriageway. And if you keep going down that way, there's a garage, and up to the left's a big main road. My point is, this is not their street. Do you know what I mean?
That is very much the case, you know, where, I mean, I find it really odd that they're here and they're seen from one side as representing the Protestant community. And yet, what's interesting about it is now that the Protestant community don't see them as representing them or protecting them and don't want them to be their police force.
Well, I always say there's no cops like no cops.
Hmm.
So if they're kind of alienated, how do they deal with it?
Well, I don't think they do deal with it. I think that's what the problem is. I think that's, you know, what we're dealing with in the monologue is the fact that, in my opinion, a lot of policemen are beginning to regret joining the police. You know, it's particularly in Northern Ireland, there's so many problems.
Do you think they're all bastards?
No, I don't. Least of all my own character.
Yeah. Your character was pretty... Stuart, your character was pretty sympathetic, wasn't it? I mean, he was human. Mm. He thought... I mean, most people... believe policemen don't think.
Well, yeah,
they just
obey
orders.
I suppose this is part of the problem that we had, you know, when we started with a piece or whatever, was just a case of, like, how are we going to get an audience to relate to an RUC man? I mean, in everyday life, we don't have any sort of real insights into what these guys have to go through. And so, in order to make the piece as effective as possible, it was necessary to try and get the audience to at least partially sympathise with this guy and the stresses that he has to deal with.
That was one thing we were just talking about there when you had your record on. You were asking us why we like to live in Belfast. Well, one thing, comparing with other towns and cities in Ireland, the scene in Belfast, punk scene for want of a better expression, is much healthier for women. It's not perfect, but there's more women involved, more women doing things. Whereas if you go to other cities and towns, they're
on, you never see them or hear from them. They're partners, and they're, I don't know, picked up at the end of the night and taken home and whatever, and that's it. They don't organise, I don't know why.
Anything.
Yeah. And they're not in bands and not doing anything.
Yeah, well, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, whatever that, there's been over 60 people who have participated in the station. The majority, the vast majority of these people have never spoken on radio before. They've never been in a studio. And a lot of them just sat down, done their own work in the studio, handled all the controls of the studio, and most of them took, like, duck to water, with a few exceptions, Brian. But nevertheless, I know you're listening, old chap. A cheap jab. Okay, a cheap jab. I apologise, you're dead on. Except a deal wasn't... A deal dropped out now and again. But we done him justice, we done him proud, we done him a few acoustic set numbers there before he went off. So, nothing left to say. But I do want maybe one of the women to read out this poem. We dedicated the station to Anne, who was a dear friend of ours. But she wrote this poem. Maybe one of you should read it out before I read out all the names of the people who supports. It's only three or four lines. Yeah, it's just those lines at the top. It's called Erskine House.
It's called Erskine House. Three brave dandelions face the north wind, simply being. They shine with courage. I wish that I could be that fearless.
Okay, that was for our dear friend Anne, who decided to take her life. But anyway, we're going to have a few records before, and I must play for old, where is he?
He's sitting here.
Oh, old Buckamouth. I gotta play this. Yeah. Okay, you've been listening to Radio 101 FM, and it's good night from everyone here. Just pass the mic round.
Good night, Anne, and cheerio, Belfast.
Good night, bye.
Good night from 5590. To all the workers out there, we are not numbers, we are free people.
Good night from Jason.
Good night from MC Stingy P. It's good we've done something together at last. Hope it goes on.
And remember, if you want Alan, if you want free speech on the airwaves, write to PO Box 148. Set and writing. Don't write to the ITC, don't write to the BBC, it's a waste of bother, wasting time. Fucking set. Good night from Morty.
Good night from Paddy.
Good night from Zelma.
Good night from Marge, and remember, just do it, girls.
Alright, and just hang on to that for us, and we'd like to thank these people for giving us a hand. MC Whiplash, Steve the Caveman, Dan Eggs, Keith, Allen and Basil, Mr. 5590, Lou, Anne or Lou, is it? I don't. Well, some of the people are here. Sheila, Bernie, Pauline, Tara, Pizza, Dan Eggs. Oh, it said him before. Terry, Jim, Colin, Geroid, Lawler, Cormac, Chris and his mate.
Bondu, you said.
Gary and Graham, Neil and Steve, Tony, Steve, Mac, Jonathan, Ali, Zub, Simon, Brendy and Ali, Ivor and Keith, the Leverage Theatre Company, Stuart, Peter, Jason, Bucketmouth. Absolutely, Bucketmouth. I have my own name here, Rick, yeah, Alistair, Boots, Mr. Stingy P, Mr. Stingy P, Barry, Andy, Niamh, Peter, Liam, Sub, Speedy, Rancid, Chris, Muscles, Kurt, Jay, Paddy, Thelma, Carlo, Dale, Nevada's Dead, and Marilyn, of course, who's upstairs keeping the tea and so on going for us.
Ooh.
Yes, well, she wouldn't come down, but she did make it. I'm not being sexist. I live with a bloody woman. Jesus, do you want me dead? We're going to end up. This is where...
It really seems like yesterday and what a bloody awful thing.
Yeah, I'll repeat it. Wonder where that 26 million in community relations went.
That helicopter right there got it all.
The helicopter's waiting to take us away. You can hear it in the background. Put that microphone out. The thing, we're live. Here it comes. There you are. You can hear it. It's ready to take us all off. It's a big one tonight. It's a biggie tonight because there's a lot of office and we'll have to get away quick. But in the meantime, well, that's where your 26 million goes to. We have some members of the Ulster Orchestra in this track, don't we? Some members of the Ulster Orchestra
going from strength to strength.
Going from strength. And this track is number one, along with Dan Eggs, and it's by Airfix. It's a bit strange to title, but it's the Dan Busters, but here it goes. Goodbye. Goodbye, everybody. Goodbye, everybody.